Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
NYYST. Hello. Why do they doubt me, kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance because they don't even know where the problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail? Then hold your breath and face your death. Because you play the roulette with each step. I progress no less. Go ahead and place your bet. I'm taking off like a rocket here and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future but see profit here. Wait up, we gon' always win. Promise that that's not a promise, yeah, that is a threat. You know that I promise to bring the team commas.
Welcome back. This is episode 442 of the NYYST podcast. We are live here on NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
Happy New Year. We are made it to 2025 and new fresh intro for the show in 2025. How do you feel? You feel a little surprised there by that?
Yeah, I was vibing to it. I like it.
So we are here live on NYY Underground January 2nd. We have made it into 2025. As I said, we got a lot to catch up on. Because last time we recorded was before Christmas, so we hope everybody had a wonderful holiday season with their families. And now we are into the depression that is January here.
Yeah, January sucks. Polar vortex.
January is by far the worst month on the calendar. I don't care what anybody says. You can go argue with a wall if you want to. Maybe the wall will talk back to you.
I think it's... Historically, February is more snowy, so I would disagree. I say February sucks more.
If you're talking from a weather standpoint, then fine, but just from a personal standpoint, I like February once we get around Valentine's Day. Not because I like Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day is a made-up bullshit holiday, but we get spring training. We get we break through this six-week cycle of darkness, and we finally see the Florida sunshine. The boys are on the field. We start to get to see some baseball again. And
I poke your MLB network password, and I watch spring training while you're stocking shelf.
Your what?
I said I poach your MLB.
Yeah, thing.
Yeah. Okay. And I watch baseball while you're at work.
Okay. Well, you can do that if you want to.
I do. I don't tell you. I just told you.
Didn't I give you the password? So
I don't know. I think you put it in someplace, and I just copied and pasted it.
Whatever. It's fine. I'm not really worried about it. But so since the last time we recorded here, the Yankees have a new first baseman. We will get into Paul Goldschmidt, who looks like One of the Winklevoss twins today when he met the media. So there's that. Jose Trevino is no longer a Yankee. That was not totally a surprise trade, but that did come seemingly out of nowhere that the Yankees traded Jose Trevino at the time that they did. And Gleyber Torres is now in Detroit. So we do have a lot to discuss here tonight and then kind of do a little math at the end of the show and see if plan A is greater or less than plan B. But before we do that, as we said, Happy New Year, chat. Please, while you're here tonight live on NYY Underground, like this video and subscribe to NYYU. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform on Friday morning, please leave us a 5-star rating review. Subscribe to us on that platform. And please tell everybody we are the official Yankees podcast of Odyssey. The holidays are now over. And as I said, we segue into this dark period here of dark at 4:30. No, I'm not a winter sports guy, so I don't watch basketball. I don't watch hockey. The Giants have been eliminated since August 31st, so there's really no there's no football for me. So now we're just wait and see what the Yankees do next here, as they made really the bulk of their off-season maneuvers here. The first big one after bringing in Cody Bellinger here is they signed Paul Goldschmidt to a one-year deal, $12.5 million to be the first baseman. He's only 2 years removed from being the NL MVP, but he did have a down year last year. And the thing with the Yankees at first base, right? And I know, I think the last time we recorded, I was heavily on the Pete Alonso train here. And apparently nobody's on the Pete Alonso train because we're still here sitting here January 2nd, as I said. He doesn't have a contract. Apparently the Mets offered him a similar type contract that I wanted the Yankees to offer him. I think it was reported around like 3 for $90 with opt-outs. So, obviously the Yankees didn't go that way. Joel Sherman said that Goldschmidt kind of fit the Yankees' budget. You know, I think they're around 291 right now. They don't want to go over 301. So I guess if the remaining options there, this might have been. I know a lot of people like Carlos Santana, and then he went immediately after to Cleveland after Cleveland traded Josh Naylor to Arizona. So there was a lot of first baseman movement. There, like in a quick time period. But I mean, you have to look at Goldschmidt, what he did last year, and it was a down year for him. Obviously, he had a 1.3 WAR, which was the lowest of his career since his rookie season. The home runs he had 22, which, if you don't count the COVID year, was the lowest he had in a season since 2024, when he only played 109 games. RBIs is 65, which you have to go all the way back to, again, 2014, when he only played 109 games, which was the lowest for him. So what are you really asking? And the OPS plus was 98, which we know league average is 100, so it was under league average there. What are we really asking out of Paul Goldschmidt at first base this year? To come and be the savior? No, I don't think that's likely. I don't think he's going to be the 981 OPS guy that he was in 2022. Can he get closer to 800? Because it was 716 last year. I know the bar has been set here. The bar has been set where people are saying he just doesn't have to be the worst first baseman in baseball, and it's an improvement from last year. But that's a scary precedent to set for the New York Yankees.
Rizzo's was on the decline. Well, he never really came back from after getting hit in the head by Tatis, and it kind of just derailed him. I mean, Rizzo was still making some pretty good plays defensively. I mean, that's really what you need, a good defensive first baseman. I think Paul Goldschmidt is going to do that, and you need him to hit the ball. Rizzo wasn't hitting the ball at all. every once in a while, you know. So I don't think it's hard to improve upon what we had. I don't think he can do any worse.
Yeah, that's not a challenge that I really want to put out there. Can you do worse than Anthony Rizzo last year?
I don't see that happening. I think anybody, like I said, I don't think Rizzo was a bad baseball player. I think that concussion really messed him up, and then the Yankees really dropped the ball by not recognizing he had a concussion, you know? So I think that really probably played into a lot of that. So it's not, you know, I don't want to call Anthony Rizzo the worst first baseman.
And, well, statistically, like, he absolutely was.
Yes, he was. It sucks to say it because I like Rizzo, you know, but unfortunately, that's how it panned out. So you can't really – Goldschmidt, as long as he comes in here and he performs better, just you can't have bonehead moves go on, stuff like that. The guy just got to hit the ball, need contact. I don't need anybody to come here and hit 40 home runs. I don't need him to hit 30. I don't need him to hit 20. I just need some contact, move the runners on the base, be able to lay down a bunt if we need it, anything. I don't care. Just anything would be better than what we had.
So there was another, I think that Daniel Lowe got traded out of Texas to somebody in the chat can fact check me here. I think to Washington for like a middle of the road left-handed reliever. So, I mean, there was a lot of movement of first baseman in a very short time period. And I know that Daniel Lowe excited a lot of Yankee fans. A lefty would have been a lefty bat at Yankee Stadium. But I mean, if the price tag for Nathaniel Lowe was a left-handed reliever, the Yankees have absolutely no left-handed relievers on their roster. So that would have been a hard trade to pull off. But I say that facetiously because, I mean, I'm sure the type of player that they got in return, the Yankees could have probably found something to Texas's liking. But look, Goldschmidt is a guy with a pedigree, and I don't hate the move as much as I initially did when I heard it. Now that we're, you know, basically a week and a half, 2 weeks removed from it, because it kind of, you know, like I said, I made a reaction video to it. Like, I literally went downstairs to open the door to get my food, took one bite out of my sandwich, and I'm getting texts about Paul Goldschmidt's a Yankee, and I just immediately reacted to it. But I mean, what are we, like I said, what are we really asking out of him? And I think this brings us to a bigger question. I know we already said we were going to do some math at the end of the show. I think we should do the math now, because the Yankees lost the right fielder that put up 40 home runs and a 989 OPS last year, right? So how did the Yankees replace that? And obviously they weren't going to do it all in one move. So now we have to look at the aggregate of what the Yankees have, and is that enough to cover the losses of what they lost in right field last year? Now, you have to look at it like this, right? If you get 20 home runs out of Paul Goldschmidt, plus, I don't know, I think Cody Bellinger, I'm not even, I really don't think this is out of line saying this. I think we can get 30 out of Cody Bellinger. And then does Dominguez come anywhere near close to his potential? Is he another guy? Can playing 150 games, can that get him to be a guy that hits 20 to 25 home runs? Is Anthony Volpe taking the next step now where he's a guy that hits around 265, 270 with 20 home run pop? And now Austin Wells being behind the plate 130 games a year, does that get him to be now a guy that with 20 to 25 home run pop? Because if you look at this lineup right now, and people can call me crazy if you want to, you take away wherever Jazz isn't going to play, third base, second base. So let's say he's just, because I think Pete mentioned this in our group chat before we came on, that the Yankees, according to Jack Curry, the Yankees want or like Jazz at second. So let's say that third base is the black hole right now. The Yankees legitimately, if everybody stays healthy, have eight players in their starting lineup that can hit at least 20 home runs. Am I out of my mind saying that? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So is the additions that they made plus the expected uptick of what you would expect out of Volpe and Wells? Now, Volpe in year three, Wells with a full year behind the plate. You know, what you expect, what you expect Jason Dominguez to be? Does that cover the loss in right field?
It's not even just covering the loss in right field. It's not just him. It's the other players that you got rid of. I mean, like, Verdugo was dog shit. You know what
Verdugo
I'm saying?
Verdugo was terrible. Right. So you're not losing anything by replacing. I'm looking at it like this. The Yankees, to a degree, needed to replace the production they got out of Gleyber Torres. I don't disagree with that at all. But Gleyber Torres was basically invisible for the first 4.5 months of the season. So if you get anything out of him, out of I guess, Jazz Chisholm, through that point, it's an improvement, right? They got nothing out of first base last year. They got really nothing out of shortstop. So if Anthony Volpe plays more like the guy we saw in the postseason and less like the guy we saw in the regular season, obviously that's an improvement. Wells should blindfold it, be better than what the Yankees got out of Jose Trevino last year. And Wells through the majority, until they put Wells in a cleanup spot too, when he started playing regularly and started, you know, hitting. Alex Verdugo is not a loss.
No, it's, you're taking them out. You're putting players in there with potential. So last year, what you really had two players at any given time producing, you know, whether it was Judge and that guy or Stanton and that guy, you know. So now you remove the guys that were doing nothing. If you get, so you go from two to at least four hitters that are producing, you're better off than you were last year.
The problem is that the right fielder was a given. You knew what you were getting out of him. You're expecting, or I don't even know, you are expecting it. You need it, but is that the cherry one?
Yeah, dude, it's actually
good. Shit is good as hell, man. I love it.
Oh my God, I've been buying cases of it.
No, it's good. It's
not even just cherry. If you read the ingredients on the back, it's got lime in it too, so it's cherry limeade.
Oh, nice. Okay. I know I initially told you, sidebar here, that I didn't like the Cherry 7-Up Zero.
Yeah.
It's grown on me. I bought a second case.
The Shirley Temple one or just cherry?
No, the cherry one. I haven't tried the Shirley Temple one.
Shirley Temple tastes like ass.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't think pomegranate soda would fly. But
yeah, no, it's not good.
Anyway, so it's more like you're hoping that Paul Goldschmidt isn't washed and can give you 20, 25 home runs. You're hoping Anthony Volpe takes the next step. You're hoping that Wells is the guy that we saw that was inserted into the cleanup spot for, you know, a good 5-6 weeks there. You're hoping that Cody Bellinger finds something at Yankee Stadium and can hit 25, 30 home runs. You're hoping that Jason Dominguez can be the guy that we thought that we were sold on. You see all the hope. What's the given in the Yankees lineup? Aaron Judge?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Jazz Chisholm, but what are you guaranteeing yourself with Jazz Chisholm? I think a full year at Yankee Stadium is probably a 25 home run seat. You know, I think Jazz could be a 30-30 guy, a 30 home run, 30 stolen base guy. I don't really necessarily think I need Jazz to hit 30 home runs. I think he can do it. I don't think he should chase it. I hate that his swing got so long at points in the season last year because of that short porch. But as a third, he should easily be a 30 stolen base guy next year.
Oh, that's what we were saying. That's about all I had in my head was the stolen base aspect of it, because Volpe was the guy that was supposed to come and start stealing bases. How many steal attempts did he have last year?
But the problem is that he doesn't get on base enough.
Well, that's true too. So Jazz, I mean, he was stealing bases left there. That's what makes baseball exciting when you start watching that. So, that's what I like, you know. But just adding that threat to it, you know, I'm trying. I'm stuttering is my problem. Everybody, I have a stuttering problem.
He stutters, okay.
You're adding that aspect into the baseball, puts more pressure on the pitcher. Correct. Yeah. You would hope that should come into play somehow and make the batters have an easier time offensively. It just changes the whole aspect of the game. So, with that being said, if Volpe can start getting on base, he can start stealing. Jazz does the same thing, but again, it all comes down to hope. They got it. They have to play their role. It can't just be all Aaron Judge, and you can't go out and get one person and expect that to make the whole team be okay.
Craig, I'm with you on being worried about Volpe if I didn't see him rise to the occasion in October. Now that gives me renewed hope that this kid does have it in him, that he played his best baseball when the lights were the brightest. So, yes. But that's the thing. Like, you took a given out of this lineup, and I don't think the Yankees have done a bad job by any stretch of the imagination with this plan B. I think this is as good of an offseason as you could have hoped that this team could have had given what they lost here. But the problem is that it's all predicated on hope now. And I think Aaron Judge will be Aaron Judge. I don't see a reason why he won't be Aaron Judge. I mean, for Christ's sake, the guy was one of the worst players in baseball in April and then had one of the, if not one of the, he probably had the greatest right-handed season that we'll ever see in our entire lifetime. That's how great he was last year.
Yes. Do you see all the memes about the ball dropping and they kept putting in?
I hope he saw him too, man. I hope he comes out motivated, but that's a, again, you want to do the math here. Okay, this guy plus this guy plus this guy plus this guy is greater than the right fielder. Fine. I will agree with you on that. But the problem is that guy protected, even though he batted in front of him, he protected Aaron Judge.
Yes.
Even if these other guys, you know, we get the top level of hope here. Is anybody going to provide that level of protection to Aaron Judge? Honestly. And that's the thing that scares me the most here. Yeah. Is that even if Cody Bellinger has a 30 home run season, Paul Goldschmidt has a 25 home run season, Jazz has a 25-30 home run season, is anybody going to protect Aaron Judge the way that our previous right fielder did?
No. But that's on Judge now to go out and do what he's got to do. He's supposed to be the best player in baseball. Prove it. You don't need to piggyback off that guy. He did it. He broke the record without him.
He did, but he was honestly, in a year where he broke a 60-year-old record, he was actually better last year.
Yes.
That's a fucking insane of a season that he had. Because there was always somebody on base in front of him. That's why his RBI numbers were through the friggin' roof, too.
Did he get hurt at all this past season?
Who?
Judge.
No, I don't think so. No.
Did he get hurt? And he didn't get hurt the year that he broke the record, right?
No.
Just the year in between.
Yeah, 23 when he ran into the wall.
Yeah, and on his birthday when he was sliding into third or whatever. I think he was out for that, too. I didn't remember if that was last year or not, though. That was the year before.
Yeah, that's right. He had that freak accident where he in Minnesota.
It was his birthday, and I was watching it, and because that's why I had my neck surgery, so I was home. I was watching everything. It was a day game, and he was sliding into third. I think he like rolled over himself, or he dug in.
You know, and then you have to look. Like I think a lot of mock lineups think Judge will bat second this year. How does that affect the? You know, again, who's hitting in front of him now? Jason Dominguez, Anthony Volpe. I mean, those are probably two of the most likely options. It's not like you had a guy that had a 420 on base percentage batting in front of Judge that's going to be on base all the time, too, where you have to pitch to Aaron Judge. I mean, these are things that people don't think about. That's why, yeah, the contract is absurd, and it's probably going to age poorly. I'm not going to deny that, and I would have gladly taken it here, aging poorly here. But, again, you look at the additions that the Yankees have made, are any of them truly going to have the impact of bringing this one guy back? And it remains to be seen. You know, maybe the sum is greater than the whole. How's it that saying, though? The sum of the parts is, or the, it's not, you know, now
I don't stubborn. Know.
I can't
think of it. I'm not old enough to know that.
It's like basically like the sum of the parts is, you know, once it's together is greater than if they were individual pieces. Somebody can come up with the expression. I know what I'm trying to say, but maybe that's the case. Maybe once all the puzzle pieces together, they just be, it's just greater than if you're looking at these guys individually. And I guess the one guy that you could really look at to really protect Judge is Stanton, But again, I'm not even expecting or asking Giancarlo Stanton to be in the lineup every day. I'm not, honestly, if we get 110, 120 games out of Stanton this year, I'll do fucking backflips, man.
The sum of one is better than the other. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. That's right. I knew. There we go.
I don't know what that means, but okay. I'll agree with you.
That means that one plus, you know, if you're worth one and I'm worth one, but when we're together, we're worth three. That's basically what it means.
Okay. Listen, if, you know, it's hard to replace him. The big if is...
Think of it like the Megazord, right?
Think of it like... because I have a piece of Mechagodzilla in my hand. I'm fidgeting.
That's not the same thing.
It's close.
Godzilla and the Power Rangers are close?
Bro, they fight each other in a comic book.
I'm sure you got excited over that. No, I'm saying. The Godzilla, that's like was your first toy. You carry that thing around forever.
Got them all over my room.
So, yeah, like Stan, he's going to have his calf pull, his bicep tendonitis. He'll miss 40 games. Just as long as he's ready on October 1st. I think that's all we're really asking out of Giancarlo Stanton.
That's all you bank on him for. Do you think that Dominguez, how much do you think Dominguez could really contribute? Do you think he could be the next Aaron Judge? Do you think he has the potential? Because that's what he's been made out to be all these years. They talked him up.
Is he going to play? I mean, the thing is he going to play well enough defense on center field, which I think the Yankees probably think he's most comfortable out there, and Bellinger can play left field no problem, that he'll be able to stay in the lineup. And you hope so, because then, I mean, the idea of what Dominguez can be versus playing Trent Grisham is just, it's not a thought that I want to have in my head.
Well, the old right fielder wasn't that great at right field. We're all okay with that.
Because he was such a phenomenal hitter.
So can Dominguez be a phenomenal hitter? He's a power bat. I mean, the guy can mash the friggin' ball. Can he do that?
I think last year was such... Yeah, I mean, I think if he's healthy and he plays every day, I don't think it's asking a lot for him to hit 20-plus home runs next year.
I mean, if Dominguez could live to be his potential, or just, you know, 75% of his potential, or what he's been made out to be, I think it's problem solved. I think that's a humongous addition. You just got to hope that he actually plays. That they actually, you know, how do I know that? Well, I'm not going to turn on baseball and he's going to be at Scranton. I'll be pissed. I don't think it's going to happen. But like in the back of my mind, I have anxiety about it because I don't doubt some of the shit that they do sometimes. So I think that's where we all are right now. It's the what ifs, because we watch what happens year in and year out, and you're like, oh God. Whoa. And you get nervous. And then when the season rolls around, you know, we all, woohoo, you know, but it's just right now.
I think in the chat, you can chime in here. I'd love to know that your guys' opinion on this. I think the biggest offensive X factor for the Yankees this year is Jason Dominguez.
Absolutely.
Is he going to be anywhere near the superstar player that he's been hyped up to be? Because if he is, then I think that we're looking at a very dynamic offense this year. That is one that is a lot younger and more athletic than people are going to give it credit for, and one that can score runs in a lot of different ways. And this is a narrative that I've been hearing the past couple of weeks, too, that the Yankees are they're going to be so boring this year. So boring. Why? Because they're not going to have a right fielder that dances after every pitch. And I'm not knocking the guy. I was entertained by it last year. And like I said, I wish that he was doing it for us again this year. But is that why you're going to be bored? Because the Yankees win 95 games this year and are back in the World Series. If watching them play baseball is like watching paint dry, who gives a shit? Because the most important thing is winning. So if they don't have somebody as flamboyant as their previous right fielder was, then who cares? As long as they win, and that's what we're discussing here, is if this puzzle put together can be better than the one that we had last year. And I think the pieces are there. It's just that you knew this guy was a given in this lineup, and you're hoping for a lot out of this team this year.
Listen, As Yankee fans, obviously we've been spoiled, and we need to come to the realization that we can't have the best player all the time. You know, I think we do have the best player, but like, you know, like the, Paul Goldschmidt, is it a good pickup? Yeah, it's a 1-year deal. Like, I'm okay with it. Bellinger, listen, if he starts cracking home runs to right field, I'm going to be ecstatic. You know, it's like we can't. Oh, but these are Gold Glove winners, MVPs at one point in time. Are they like washed up? I hope not. You know, but like we gotta. I don't think that they're making bad moves on paper. If you look at it, I don't think it's bad at all. And that's all you can really go off of at the end of the day. You look at what people have been, what you think that they can do. You know, it doesn't pan out a lot. You know, that's just the way life works. You know, look at Wash Donaldson.
I really think, honestly, out of the two offensive players the Yankees brought in here, I really think Cody's going to bang this year. I really do believe that he's going to have a big year playing for the Yankees and being in Yankee Stadium. I really, truly believe that.
Well,
and
I think he wanted to be. He wanted
he's
to be
still,
Yankee.
He's
he
still
to be here.
And what? He's only 29, I think, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think he's done, man. I think, you know, he's had some injuries and, but you know, things have happened in his career. I really think this is going to be a big year for Cody Bellinger. Do I think he's going to be 2019 MVP Cody Bellinger? No, but would it stun me? I not to say would it stun me. I would expect him to, when we're sitting here talking about who on this team should be an all-star, I really honestly believe that we're going to be discussing Cody Bellinger.
I think so. I think that's the trade I've been the most excited about, because it's a nice left-handed bat. You look at his, what is it, the spray chart?
Yeah,
like he should do good at Yankee Stadium.
Now, Paul Goldschmidt, again, I read the numbers. Do I have higher hopes for him? Again, not really. But again, Joel Sherman, who, you know, I'll take his word for it, said that he spoke to a lot of people in the NL Central, and nobody told him that this guy is washed. They all say that it's still there. He had a resurgence second half. He's a guy that likes to go the opposite way, so that's going to play well at Yankee Stadium. You know, as a Yankee fan, we have to try to talk ourselves into things too, and like be excited about the season. Yeah, you know, like we had a guy that finished third in the MVP voting and really brought out the best in our MVP, and he's not here anymore. So now we're taking a look at guys like Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt and hoping, and that's kind of what the emphasis is here, is hope. But I really, I really think that Cody, and I don't know why I'm using this term when I talk about Cody, but I really think he's going to bang this year. I think Cody Bellinger, and you guys can call me out on it if we're sitting here on July 1st and I want the guy run out of town, but because he's hitting 210, I really think Cody Bellinger is going to have a big year for the Yankees. I really, truly believe that. And if you combine that, we're getting even 80% of what we were sold on Jason Dominguez. This is going to be a really good offensive team next year.
They just have to do their job. Like Paul Goldschmidt, like I don't need him to come here be a superstar. I just need him to do his job. That's it. Plain and simple. You don't need to be the greatest thing in the world. You just can't suck. You have to be at least average at that. You know what I'm saying? And make the plays when they need to be. Cover first base. Do what you got to do. No stupid errors. And I'll have nothing to complain about at him. The guy's old. He's a month older than me. And I'm telling you now, I don't like getting out of bed in the morning because everything's cracking. So I don't expect him to be a superstar. Just do your job.
So if you look at the Yankees right now with Volpe, Bellinger, Jazz, and Dominguez, and if they come close to what we expect them to be, this is going to be, people want to say boring. I don't think that's going to be a boring baseball team to watch with athletic guys that are going to be on base, creating havoc on the base paths, guys that have good baseball IQs, hopefully. I mean, I haven't watched enough of Bellinger, but I hope he does. And Dominguez and Volpe, you know, hopefully they don't get Yankeeitis in that regard there. But these are young athletic guys, man. And if they can be close to guys that are getting on base at a 30 to 35% clip, man, that can steal bases, go first to third, score from first on a ball in the gap. I mean, that's, you want to say boring. That's not going to be boring. That's going to be exciting baseball to watch. Guys that don't have to hit you know, like I said, we can have eight guys that can hit 20 home runs, but this is going to be a team that's not going to have to rely on the home run ball. I think this is going to be a very fun team to watch this year. And if it's not, and they're winning 3-1 every night because they have the best pitching staff in the American League, who cares? Because you know what I care about? Winning.
Winning.
Winning baseball games.
Winning.
Yeah. And like The Rock says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how the Yankees win baseball games this year, just as long as they win them. And the question is, do they have a team right now that is good enough to win baseball games?
What would make it boring? I just don't understand what make it boring compared to last year. Why? Because he, like you said, he got up and shook his ass. It wasn't. There was a month where we wanted to rip our freaking hair out because they were just losing.
They had him, and they were one of the worst teams in baseball for 6 weeks.
Like I don't get it. Like those are the people that are saying it's boring or just like, oh, he's gone. Oh, we suck. Like, no, dude. Like, come on. Like, those are the people that watch it one game of frick, you know, a week.
And Richie's in the chat. He's right, man. 98, there was not a 30 home run hitter on the team. I venture to say that team was pretty boring to watch on a night in and night out basis. You know what they were? The best team ever. So it all comes down to wins and losses, man. That's what I used to coach rec league basketball, and these kids were worried about, like, oh, I didn't put up enough points. Oh, did you win? Yeah. That's the only stat that matters in sports, wins and losses. Did you win or did you lose? That's it. Dude, if Aaron Judge hits 17 home runs next year and the Yankees win the World Series, that's the best year ever.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I mean, I'd be they could have done no trades and they could walk out DJ LeMahieu every day and I'd still be excited. I love baseball. I want to watch it, but you know, I don't think that they're doing anything wrong. I can't say Cashman's doing a shit job. Anybody that says that, you're an asshole. Sorry. You know, but like that, you know, we know that that'll be coming halfway through the season when something goes wrong. Oh, you know, I'm not gonna say I don't say that, but you know. It all gets the best of us at all sometimes. But I think he's doing a good job. I think they went out. They didn't get – plan A didn't work out, and they pivoted, and I think they did the right thing.
So you look at – so do the math here, all right? The right fielder, Nestor Cortez, Gleyber Torres, and Clay Holmes.
Yes.
Greater than or less than Devin Williams – Max Fried, Cody Bellinger, and Paul Goldschmidt.
Defensively, I think you're...
Overall, I mean overall.
You know, offensively, I don't think you're that far off. If not, you're there. It's a team. I get it. One guy can help carry a team, but when it makes it a lot easier when you don't have seven other guys dragging their ass or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you could get... four or five guys that are doing consistent output consistently, I think it's much more exciting to watch, much easier to win. You know, I don't want to win games by one run, two runs here and there. As fun it is to watch walk-off home runs or some shit, like, I don't want that. It drives my blood pressure up through the roof. It probably taking years off my life. I want to watch baseball. I want to watch them score. I don't want to get pissed off. That's where we've been offensively. I think we've been very flat the past few years. The bats woke up a little bit during the postseason. That's great and all, but like, I want that during the regular season too.
So that's kind of what you have to look at, is the four out better or worse than the four in? And is the, because if you take out 22, obviously, it's a win for the Yankees, but is that curve it so much? And I don't, honestly, at this point, it's hard to tell. It really is. Because the Yankees have put together a tremendous pitching staff here. You're going Gerrit Cole, Max Fried, Carlos Rodon, Clark Schmidt, and Luis Gil.
What are they going to do with Stroman?
They're going to have to trade him at some point.
Who wants him?
I mean, there's teams that would value what he can give them. I mean, I
don't know. He pissed me off after he yelled at Glaber.
He can't pitch in the American League East anymore. That's for certain. He's gonna have to go to, he'll have to go back to like the NL Central, man. That's why, you know, and I know that people that would know these things keep shooting down the Nolan Arenado rumors, and that's the only thing that would attract me about trading for Nolan Arenado is if it was a swap for Marcus Stroman. But I don't think that's happening.
So who plays third?
Well, that's the million-dollar question right now. Is that do the Yankees – there's several ways the Yankees can go here. I mean, the Yankees can look at what's left out there and see if there's somebody that they could pick up on a 1-2-year deal. You know, is it going to be better than what they already have in-house? You know, that remains to be seen. You know, they might want to wait till – we get to spring training and, you know, there's a roster crunch somewhere and some guy, you know, guy gets let go or needs to be traded. That's a possibility. Or, you know, like we just looked at this offense, right? Nobody, including me, and I don't want people to take this out of context, are saying that DJ LeMahieu or Oswaldo Cabrera should be in the lineup on opening day. But do the Yankees look at it like, we can get through the first half of this season with either of those guys playing third base and see what might become available at the trade deadline. The issue with that becomes with the additional wild cards. Now, everybody thinks they're still in it. There's only going to be a handful of teams that are so bad that they're not going to be in it. And are any of them going to have an infielder that you're interested in?
You see the asshole that said that they should trade Volpe and someone else for Bo Bichette?
You're not doing that.
Did you see it? No, but did you see, like, this is, I do a lot of, like, searching on the internet. I read a lot of comments on social media.
I didn't see that, but.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I believe Bichette's coming up on a walk year as well. You're not trading Volpe.
Oh, yeah, it's 1 year of control and he's gone. It's a mock trade to someone,
and I think he had a very and for him, I think he had a down year last year, so it's not something I'd be looking to do.
No, I think he was hurt too. I don't know. What do you think about Vlad? Because I think a lot of people are saying too that's why they went one year deal on Goldschmidt. They didn't want to.
I don't know. Keep bringing up Murakami, man. I know that's something that might excite Yankee fans too. You know, coming over from Japan next year. Again, are the Yankees just keeping first base warm until they feel like they need to move Aaron Judge there? It's another thing. I think eventually he will become a first baseman. Hopefully, it's not for another 2 or 3 years. But you know, that's why I thought Pete Alonso was so perfect on a 3-year deal. You know, I know a lot of people are still thinking that they're hoping on Alex Bregman. I wouldn't touch Alex Bregman with a 10-foot pole.
No.
He's a pull hitter that benefited from the Crawford boxes in Houston, and I don't see his power playing to Yankee Stadium. But, and again, you're going to want to tie yourself down unless he's willing to take, you know, that Pete Alonso type deal that I was offering, you know. Put 3 for 100 in front of him, give him an opt out after this year. That's something I'd be interested. I would say I'd probably be more interested in that than giving him 7 years and, you know, $180-$200 million or whatever he's probably looking for.
I feel bad for Pete Alonso. He really shot himself in the foot. He should have taken that extension.
Hey, well, you know.
Oh well.
Sucks for him, right?
Yeah.
So is that something the Yankees look at and say, hey, listen, there's nothing really attractive out here right now. We don't want to lock up Alex Bregman to a long-term deal. Do we just go with what's in-house? Maybe Peraza shines in spring training. He wins the job. And they just go with it until the trade deadline. But that's, again, that's risky. That's a real risky thing. I mean, you could probably look at, go scroll the teams right now and pick out the 4 or 5 of them that you know are going to be out of it come to trade deadline. And then everybody else will be within 5 or 6 games and think that they, if they make a trade, they'll have a shot. So it's tough, man. It's a, The Yankees need a couple of things here. They need to fill that hole wherever they don't want to play Jazz, and they need a left-handed reliever. They can't go into the season with no lefties in that bullpen. That's why I don't understand, you know, I'm not trying to make a big deal out of Tim Hill, but why is Tim Hill not a Yankee right now?
Yeah, that's been bugging me a lot. I thought that would have been one of the first moves that they made.
So the Yankees like Tim Hill. Tim Hill likes the Yankees. What are we holding out for? How much money could Tim Hill possibly be asking for? You can't give him 1 year, $2.5 million, or give him like an option for, you know, 26 or something. Jesus.
I'm sure that'll get done.
I don't like, you know, they need a lefty in the bullpen, Andrew Chafin. I'd rather have Tim Hill here, to be honest with you. I mean, if we're nitpicking little shit like this, that's the move I would go to. You know, Tim Hill was as valuable as anybody in this bullpen in October. You know, I know he pitches to contact, but he's got the best ground, you know, one of the best ground ball rates in baseball. And if you're playing guys in position in this infield, that should play well for the Yankees. I don't know. That's just something I would just call up Tim Hill's agent and be like, how do we get this done? Can we please get this done? You like me, I like you. Let's go on a date.
Yes.
So, the other things that happened while we were away here is Jose Trevino got traded.
My God. Bye.
Look, honestly, the way I look at Jose Trevino here, and I know people were like crying on social media, he cares. He went to his kid's career day in his full Yankee uniform. You know what? That'll be a memory his child will have for a lifetime. He's an awesome dad. He just sucks as a baseball player. Okay, yeah. And I hate to be blunt about it, but he had no purpose here. And what he was a security blanket for the Yankees every time that Austin Wells would struggle, that they would be like, oh, let's go to Jose Trevino. You even saw it in the postseason. The fact of the matter here is that Jose Trevino can't hit. He can't throw anybody out. No, he frames pitches. Great. He does one thing. Oh, he does one thing well.
The Red Sox broke their franchise stolen base record on Jose Trevino. Like, that's not like something that you want to say, is that the Red Sox have their stolen base record against the Yankees. That sucks.
The fact of the matter is, and honestly, the day that Brian Cashman dies and they have to think of a eulogy for him, how to highlight all the accomplishments in his life, right? This is what I would, if I'm still around and I get to, you know, have a say in the matter, I would say you have to mention the Jose Trevino trade, the one where they got him. The fact that the Yankees got a guy that had an all-star caliber 3 months, because he made the all-star team in 22, the fact that they got a guy that played an all-star level for 3 months and won a fucking platinum glove for Albert Abreu should go in Brian Cashman's eulogy. That you were able to turn that type of a performance out of Albert Abreu is one of the great general managerial jobs of all time. But like Cinderella at midnight, it turned into a pumpkin real fast with him.
Yeah, after the All-Star break, he fell off the face of the earth.
Because the problem with Jose Trevino is that he's not a starting catcher. He was never a starting catcher in Texas. And once he started to get the innings piling up on him, you saw he got exposed. And he just didn't hit as well. He got tired. He had the injury. And now there's a better player here. And the thing that I love the most about the Jose Trevino trade is not necessarily what they got in return, because it's Cruz, right, is the reliever they got for him? I believe that's his name.
They got two people for him.
They got a backup catcher and a reliever. And I think this reliever, Fernando Cruz, I think his name is. I don't have it in front of me.
I believe it's what it was. I'd have to look it up.
The whiff rate in K per nine is friggin' ridiculous. And you get him in the Matt Blake factory, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy is one of the biggest weapons coming out of the bullpen come August.
Let's see. Jose Trevino.
But the thing I love the most about the Jose Trevino trade Is that the Yankees are
Cruz?
Yeah, and Alex Jackson.
Alex, yeah, it's cutting off the last name. Yeah, just so.
Yeah, I mean, so again, is he here for organizational depth? Is Jackson here to be a guy that would be the backup, which is not a threat to Austin Wells? Who knows? It remains to be seen. But I like picking up a guy like Cruz with the tools that he has. You know, the K per nine, the whiff rate. You know, you get him in there to learn how to, again, these guys working with Matt Blake, you know, as we've seen what Matt Blake gets with some of these guys, that could be an extremely underrated trade the Yankees made here. But the bigger picture here, why I love the Jose Trevino trade so much, you're fully committing to Austin Wells as your starting catcher in 2025.
Yep.
And yeah. I think that's the most important thing that the Yankees can do is committing to Austin Wells as the catcher. There's nobody here, not that I believe or you believe or really anybody should believe Jose Trevino to be a threat to Austin Wells, but we know how the Yankees operate. And when they have these veterans sitting around, when younger players start to struggle, here.
Well, Austin Wells was catching, and then as soon as Trevino came back from injury, they tried to...
Yeah, and they bullshit you and said that it's not going to be a platoon, and it turned into one, that they were even though you can't really platoon a righty with a lefty and give them equal playing time, because that's essentially what the Yankees are doing there for a while. But the Yankees have told you now that Austin Wells is their guy, he's the starting catcher, and there's nobody here that's going to challenge him for that job.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him play this year.
And I think, I forget who said it, but, you know, somebody brought this up. It might have been Corey Kluber. The Yankees trusted him, and that pitching staff trusted him in the biggest innings of the year to catch that staff, to catch Gerrit Cole in the World Series. I don't think that's something that you can turn a blind eye to either.
No.
And now you're going to give him what a starting catcher gets at bat-wise, 450, 500 at bats. I'm excited to see what he can do in that with that playing time.
Yeah, I like him. This is another player I want to watch. See, it's fun to watch these players develop. You know, it sucks when they they're obviously getting better. They do bonehead things here and there, but I don't really recall Wells really fucking up anywhere. I thought he did a solid job this year. Just got to get his bat going. Which, like you said, he started to. So
the other move, well, the Yankees didn't make a move here, but the other kind of Yankee piece of news here that came out, well, I believe it was last Friday now, right? Probably about a week ago now.
Something like that, yeah.
That Gleyber Torres signed a one-year, $15 million deal to go play with the Detroit Tigers. And I like this move for the Tigers as a team that was in the playoffs last year. And I like this move for Gleyber Torres. I think he'll fit nicely into that lineup. But...
I'm surprised he took a one-year deal.
The Yankees, you knew the writing was on the wall as soon as the Yankees didn't offer him the qualifying offer because they knew he would take it because he signed for less than that. And it's weird when you look at Gleyber Torres' legacy here. And I don't know a better word, his tenure here, really.
Yeah, his tenure is probably better.
It was ultimately a disappointment. Because when you look at Gleyber Torres as a baseball player, for a former top prospect, Gleyber Torres finished his Yankee tenure with an OPS of under 800. His OPS for his career... 774 for a guy that once hit 30... And obviously, we're going to say juice balls here. Hit 39 home runs in a season. A guy that when things weren't normal, I guess you could say, it affected him. It really did. In 2021, when the Yankees moved him to shortstop, he had his worst year of his career. He had a 0.8 war, which was the lowest of his career. In 2021, he had 9 home runs that year.
Yeah.
He had an OPS plus of 93. Gleyber's never had an OPS plus under 101, which was this year. 93. That's when they moved him to shortstop. And he was so bad, it changes the whole organizational plan of what they were going to do there. And that's how we got IKF in 2022. Changed everything because he was so bad there. And do you know when his second worst year of his career was? This past season, when he was playing for a contract.
Yes.
And he choked it all away. You couldn't find this guy for like 4.5 months. Credit to him. Showed up at the end of the season. And was one of the premier players for the Yankees in the postseason in 2024. How many consecutive games did he get on to start a game with either a hit or a walk?
Oh, yeah. It was almost automatic.
Almost automatic that Gleyber Torres was going to start the game getting on base. I think it was like 7 out of the first 8 games.
It was wild.
Him and 22 were on base every game to start. And just highlighted how bad Aaron Judge turned out to be, but
yeah. Well, what's the problem with Torres? Listen, he the past 2 years he led the league though in errors.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, like, defensively, he just wasn't there. That sucks. Like, you want to go back to like, oh, you don't want to have the worst first baseman in all of baseball. It's like, you know, you're replacing him defensively. You know what I'm saying? It's like almost the same thing. I think anybody at that point now becomes an improvement. Because it all goes down to, like, you know, then you got, like I said, I didn't like Stroman when he yelled at Gleyber, but, like, you see the shit that Gleyber was doing. His team's clearly getting frustrating with him. It's got to trickle down into the gameplay somehow. The guy's loafing it to first base. He wasn't running. He got sat. Did he cry too? I know Rodon cried. Did Gleyber cry? Or he just sat there pouting?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think Gleyber sat there and he was pouting. It got to be too much. It was almost like watching Pee Wee, you know, baseball, and like your kid gets pissed off and he's like throwing a fit. And I think that became like the biggest issue with Gleyber. And that's like when you talk about a legacy, that almost becomes legacy because it trumps everything else. I mean, like, I remember the Gleyber Day call, and that was one of the greatest calls, like, I think I heard on TV, and I heard it on the radio and on TV, because the radio is obviously doesn't have the lag that TV has. I heard it on the radio, and I remember running into my house and watching it happen. Like, that's so great. But then, like, but when you say Gleyber Torres, the first thing I think of is him getting benched because he just wasn't running. He wasn't putting the effort in. You could see the frustration on his face. That sucks, you know. Like, so when you say legacy, that's what you think of.
You know, when you see that he signs for 1 year and $15 million, and you know that the real missing piece of this offense is that infield spot, whether it be second base, third base, and you're saying to yourself, why couldn't the Yankees have done that? And the Yankees could have done that. But the Yankees told you they were done with Gleyber Torres. They were told you they were done with Gleyber Torres when they didn't offer him the qualifying offer. And the first time Brian Cashman spoke in the offseason with the GM meetings, whatever the hell it was, right? When he was outside with the pool of reporters, he basically said goodbye to Gleyber Torres. The Yankees were just done with him. Right or wrong, they were done with him.
They were done. There was I didn't think he was coming back. I don't think you thought.
No. No, and that's why I said, for one for 15, man, I would have taken a shot at him. You kind of know what you're getting with him offensively. This team doesn't really have a prototypical leadoff hitter. He played really well there. He showed up in October. You start adding up the pros for bringing back Gleyber Torres, and you're like, well, when has Aaron Boone ever taken a hard stand with any of his players? Ever. Never.
Gleyber Torres is the one.
Multiple times he did that with him.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. You knew at the All-Star break by the time that he wasn't coming back. Like, you know, we knew then. It just... Yeah, I like Gleyber. I don't have any ill will towards him, any of that shit. I liked him as a Yankee.
He was one. Gleyber Torres, you want to talk about legacy of what a player is remembered as? When he comes back here the first time Detroit comes to Yankee Stadium, I hope the fans show him appreciation.
I was thinking about that today. Like, I was saying, stuttering. I thought about that today. I was going to actually get a text you and ask you if you wanted to buy tickets.
No, I don't want to. I have no desire to go out of my way to see him again.
Yeah, but I would like to see him.
But he wasn't a bad Yankee overall. He was a disappointment as a Yankee. And that's what you're always going to remember about Gleyber Torres, is that he was a disappointment here. Overall, when you look at his career here, his tenure, when he retires and people bring up the teams that this era that he was on, you're like, oh, Gleyber Torres. Well, what do you remember about Gleyber Torres? He was a disappointment, right? He was supposed to come up here as the next big thing, number one, you know, prospect. Gets the first thing he does, Tommy John surgery, slides into home and he needs Tommy John surgery, sets him back. Then he comes up here. We see what he can be. Yankees are like, okay, now, you know, Didi's gone. Now's your time. You're the shortstop. He sucked so bad that we had to bring in IKF for a year. That's how bad that he was. And he's a guy that could just never focus on being great.
Wasn't something said to him about playing a different base and he goes, I'm a second baseman?
Yeah, when Jazz Chisholm got traded here.
Said, I'm a second baseman.
I play second base, meanwhile leading the league in errors. In the time that Gleyber Torres has been in the big leagues, nobody's made more errors at second base than Gleyber Torres has.
Led the league, all the major league, in errors, not just the American League. So,
but ultimately, when you look at Gleyber Torres, he will go down as a big disappointment here. And I don't, like I said, I don't hate him. He made a couple All-Star teams. He's been a good player, but this is what you're, this is in 5 years, is what we're not hoping Jason Dominguez is. A guy that makes a couple All-Star teams, flirts with greatness, but just never puts it together to be great. This is what we're hoping that Jason Dominguez avoids, being Gleyber Torres. Being a guy that has his head shoved up his ass half the time, and being a guy that Aaron Boone is having to reprimand. Like we said, Aaron Boone never takes a hard stand with anybody, and he does it with Gleyber Torres. That should tell you everything you need to know about Gleyber Torres right there. That Aaron Boone got fed up with him.
2020 was the COVID year, right?
Yes.
He had 9 errors that year. That was a shortened season. He still had 9 errors. He led the American League. And then 15 and 23, 18 and 24. And in 21, he had 18 errors too. But he didn't. Who the hell had more errors than him? But he was also hitting. No, 18 fucking errors. That's friggin' wild. That sucks. Switching him over to shortstop really did do a number on him.
So when fans look at it like, oh, why didn't the Yankees? This is why the Yankees didn't do it. This is because on its surface level, 1 year and $15 million for the player that Gleyber Torres is a no-brainer. And I would have had a hard time talking my – if I was the Yankees, I would have had a hard time talking myself out of it. But when you add up the facts of the case here, they were done.
And they have a better second baseman on the team already.
And it was time for him to move. It was time for him to move on here. It really was. And it sucks. It sucks that when we look back at Gleyber Torres' tenure as a Yankee, the word that comes to mind is disappointment. It really does.
Yeah.
You know,
him and Andujar that year were phenomenal. And you expect it to continue. And they're both disappointments.
You know, Chris always talked about dog pile guys. Who's the guy that you can envision in the dog pile when the Yankees win their 28th World Series? He's not a dog pile guy. He just isn't. I'm sorry to say it, man. I really wish that I had a different feeling about Gleyber Torres as the baseball player. Like, when there's certain guys that have been with the Yankees for as long as he's been, you're supposed to feel some type of emotion when they leave, and it's not supposed to be relief.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And I got to say, when the door was basically slammed on him, and then you finally know that it's not happening, there's no chance of him coming back because he's with another team, you're relieved. You're relieved that you're not going to be aggravated watching this guy play baseball anymore. You're relieved that you're not going to be frustrated knowing that this guy's got all the talent in the world and it's himself that's keeping him from reaching his potential. And, you know, you're talking about writing eulogies, and I said it in a joking manner in regards to Brian Cashman getting an all-star player for even for half a season for Albert Abreu. But when you're writing the eulogy on Gleyber Torres' Yankee career, and the words you want to use is disappointment, that's sad. That really is sad, man.
He grew a beard. Maybe he'll play better in Detroit now. I wish him all the best. Just not against the Yankees.
I just don't know how he's all... I mean, look, if he wakes up and, you know, he's a guy with his head on, screwed on straight, but AJ Hinch is not going to take his bullshit either. So, I mean...
No, yeah.
It's going to be tough, man. I'm going to say that it's going to be tough for him to see if he stays focused in 2025. It's going to be weird as hell watching him play in a Detroit Tigers uniform, though. I will say that. It's going to be weird the first time we see it.
Hey, whatever.
Just to get
him. I like him gone. It don't matter. Jazz will play a better defensive second base. We hope.
But that's the thing about Gleyber Torres. He didn't play defense well. He's not athletic. You banked on him being a great hitter, and he just never reached that. So it's a loss, but it's not one that's going to that you're going to sit there and say, "Wow, if the Yankees don't get back to the World Series, you're not going to sit there and say, well, it's because they didn't bring back Gleyber Torres."
No, but so like it goes back to what you said: is the team better? So what are you giving up? You gave up Clay Holmes. Gave up. I had the most blown saves, right? Led the league. Torres led the league in errors. And Volpe. Rizzo, one of the worst first basemen, if not the worst first baseman. All three spots upgraded. The team should be better.
Defensively, they're going to be better. I mean, you would hope that Dominguez was just in his own head. Again, this is now you're talking about you don't want Dominguez to be Gleyber Torres, and now I'm going to say this. You just hope that he was in his own head a little bit last year, trying to do too much, coming back from Tommy John, coming back from the oblique, you know, knowing that the Yankees were kind of putting a lot on him to take over for Alex Verdugo because Alex Verdugo was so bad. He never really played left field, and yes, there is a difference. I know a lot of people don't. It's not playing baseball in real life is not playing baseball in a video That's game true. Where just because you had like I would play first baseman at third base just because like I had two guys that I wanted to play in the lineup and it didn't cost you games. And whereas in real life that will cost you baseball games, you know. So,
we don't get like a sample of Dominguez.
So you know if he plays center field, is he more comfortable there? Is you know.
Dominguez needs to get the start, and we need to actually watch him as a player. Because like when I watched him play, and he was running after the ball, it almost looked like he didn't give a shit. But like I don't know his mannerisms. I don't know what his face looks like when he's actually trying to play. But like we don't know. You know, it's just, and like you said, you're running one way opposed to another. Your field, the cover, it's different.
You know, the Yankees. We look at this lineup again as we try to round out the show here. And close out this episode here. Are the Yankees better offensively than they were in 2024? Even with this hole that they have it, we'll just say at third base right now, because I think, you know, based on what Jack Curry said that they want to play Jazz at second, but we'll just say for argument's sake, third base, are they better this year? I think they have the potential. Honestly, they have the potential to be, they really do. And they could have two, and I talked about Jazz being a 30-30 guy. Dominguez has the potential to be a 30-30 guy himself. He does. You can't say that he doesn't have the power to hit 30 home runs.
Oh, he has the power, yeah.
And gets on base enough, he should be able to steal 30 bases. The Yankees could have three guys in this lineup that can steal well over 100 bags in Dominguez, Volpe, and Jazz if they all get on base enough. I would think Cody's going to take some chances out there. That's why, you know, losing one player, isn't going to sink the Yankees. Losing one player doesn't make the Yankees boring. They put together a phenomenal pitching staff here. They put together an offensive team that could be a lot more versatile. And defensively, they should be a lot better. Why did the Yankees lose to the Dodgers in the World Series? If you really break it down here, why did the Yankees lose to the Dodgers in the World Series?
Their defense sucked, and their offense was a little lackluster.
The Yankees really did enough offensively to win some of these games here. They really did. Their pitching, which was a strength and really held the Dodgers down, is now better. Okay, so look at that part. Defensively, the one big play here that really set the wheels of game one in motion is the ball coming in from right field to Gleyber Torres, where it wasn't corralled properly, and Ohtani gets an extra base, which leads to the tying run. Neither of those players are on the team now.
Yes.
And I get it. The center fielder dropped the ball. Rizzo and Cole couldn't come together on that final out. I get it. But, you know, even if the Yankees win game five, I mean, that's still a tall order to ask them to come back from down 3-0. Again, we would have liked to have been in the position to see what happened in game six. But the wheels were already set in motion here. This team's going to be a lot better defensively. This team's going to be, I'd be stunned if they don't have, just based on the names we see on paper, the best pitching staff in the American League. It all comes down to, can they hit enough? And again, it comes down to hope. The potential is there. And if you get these guys on base, you're going to have guys on base that created a lot of havoc. And I think that's going to be fun to watch. So, you know, I know we banned his name from the show, but we've been talking about him without saying his name. I don't think we have to talk about it anymore now either. The team is pretty much put together.
In the past, you talk about him, but it's, I'm not, I don't think we're, you know, I'm not going to say we're not going to be missing anything. I think that they did everything the right way to make up for him. Onwards and upwards, is that what they say, Mr. Sayings?
Yeah, no, that's definitely an expression, is onwards and upwards here.
So
there's things that we need to leave in 2024. I think all Yankee fans listening to me, watching us right now, leave that guy in 2024. Stop thinking about him. He's not here. He's not coming back. Focus on what is going to be put on the field on, what is it, the 27th? Is that opening day?
March 27th.
March 27th. Wow. Who's going to be on the field on opening day?
Maybe team... me.
That'd be a fun streaking post-game episode.
Streaking.
Where's Sem? Pete's going to be like, where's Sem? Why isn't he on the call? Well, you know.
In jail.
He's in jail. So leave that guy in 2024. We're in 2025 now. Who are the 2025 New York Yankees? Who are they going to be? What's going to be their identity? We'll wait and see, man. I'm excited. Honestly, I'm excited to see what this team can do.
Absolutely. I don't know how you can't be excited. And if you're saying it's going to be a boring team to watch, you just suck. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The Corbin Burnes, again, we didn't talk about this. Corbin Burnes went to Arizona. The American League has lost a lot of significant talent in this offseason. Whereas the Yankees are the only ones. Boston got Garrett Crochet and Walker Buehler, which their starting staff is going to be pretty good as well. But nobody, to me, still nobody has closed the gap on themselves and the Yankees in the American League. This is still the Yankees league to win until somebody proves otherwise. The Yankees still should be looked at as the favorites in the American League. You shouldn't be down on this team because one player didn't re-sign here. This is still a very good baseball team that could surprise a lot of people. How much of a surprise can they be? It remains to be seen, man. But I wouldn't sit there again. Leave that in 2024. Can the 2025 New York Yankees repeat as American League champions? Can the 2025 New York Yankees clean up on the things that kept them from winning a World Series?
I think they already cleaned it up.
So,
positivity. It's going to be a good season.
I don't have any idea what the hell this dog is doing. You ever watch your dog and wonder what the hell they do? Like why they're doing what they're doing?
My dog ripped his ear open hunting the other day so bad. There was blood all over the place. And when we found out what it was the smallest cut you've ever seen.
There's two pillows on the couch, and he's walking back and forth from both of them, putting his nose under each one of them, and then like pawing at them. And then now he lays on top of my laundry. Thank you. This is what happens when you don't have any human friends.
Yes.
All right, chat. So we'll close out the show there. Thank you, Creed, for sidetracking me here. So we want to thank you for joining us on the first episode of 2025. Happy New Year to everybody. If you're still in the chat tonight, please like and subscribe to NYY Underground here. Big things coming in 2025. I'm excited for the season, man. I'm imploring everybody, just be excited, man. Like, this is what we have to look forward to. If you're going to be down in the dumps because somebody... Oh, we got a super chat to close the show here. I'm just getting ready to say goodbye, and somebody popped in. Kyle Malay, what's up, brother? Happy New Year. Let's have a great year. Yankees will be in the World Series again. The American League is so bad. The Yankees have put together the best team. Absolutely. So I agree with you 100% there. I said, man, just because one guy's playing in Queens now, there's no reason to be like fucking Eeyore. Hi, guys. Yeah, I guess I'll watch the Yankees, guys. This is going to be a good baseball team. It's going to be a good baseball team that you're going to sit down at 7:05, be excited to watch every night. We still have the best player in the fucking world playing for us. We have the best story every night, every single night, except for when Carlos Rodon starts. We're going to send an ace out to the mound. We're going to have a fucking jungle cat setting up for an airbender to close out games. You're not excited for that? I'm pumped up, man. I'm ready to go. I can't wait till they hit spring training. March 27th will be here before we know it. And as Jira just posted in the chat, tickets are available here for NYYU Day in the Audi Club on March 29th. So we'll see you out here, man. Pumped up, man. I don't know. I'm excited, man. Like, let's go, dude. I don't want to have seasonal fucking depression again. You know, no more Christmas lights. You're going to go to work tomorrow driving around. Everybody's going to be throwing out Christmas trees and shit. It's dark at 4:30. I don't want that, but I want to be excited about my New York Yankees and watching this team get back to the World Series in 2025.
Did you just say my job's depressing?
No, I said I'm going to be depressed going to work, watching people throwing
out. But I'm the guy that goes and throws out the Christmas trees and the Christmas lights. What the fuck? What the hell? Well, not bad of a job. That sucks. Every holiday I'm throwing out inflatables. I have to try to take them home. You can fix them a lot of times. They got a fuse in the plug, but take home too much shit.
So let's not get depressed this off season here, okay? Let's get excited. Let's think about what the New York Yankees are going to be this year. And if you get depressed by that, go do something else with your time, man, because I'm pretty pumped up here. I'm excited here.
Don't be a garbage man.
And here's our mantra for 2025 here. If you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth, okay? That's what everybody's got to strive for in 2025. And I think this team is going to strive to be World Series champions. And I think that when it's all said and done, we're going to be looking at a team that's going to be going out for revenge against the Dodgers in late October. Who's with me? Come on. I know somebody's got to be with me here. So again,
I don't want to yell. My dog will start barking.
Richie wants to start you a get out of jail fund right now.
Let's do it. I'm not streaking on. I won't do it on opening day. If they suck and I don't want to buy season tickets anymore, I'll do it the last game. Fuck it, right?
So All right, I had to pump myself up there. We'll let everybody go here tonight. Thank you very much for being in the chat with us here. Like this video, subscribe to NYY Underground. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating and review, and tell everybody that the NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We want to thank you for your continued support of NYY Underground and NYYST. Thank you very much for listening and watching episode 442. Sem, say goodbye.
84 days. Goodbye.
Can't make a promise, but I do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Just got started, no, we ain't done yet. Bought a new crib, that's a goddamn flex. Goddamn flex. Sign that check. Told him last year that I've been up next. Can't take calls, but I send that text.